Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. It's the free agency draft as we do every season. We will look at the Eagles' needs, their free agents as well, to assess who we will be drafting. And we will, when we do it, we'll refresh on the rules, but we each pick 10 players that we think the Eagles may sign and go from there. I think this is just a bragging rights endeavor, but it's always fun and we look forward to doing it. There are a few big news announcements. We're recording on Sunday, late morning, early afternoon. Fletcher Cox just announced his retirement. Of course, the last time we recorded was before Jason Kelce's retirement, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the transactions and rumors before we get started. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Now, I'll say today is the day after the spring forward, or the day of if you want to be technical, but I'm saying the hour lost, I'd say, isn't hitting me as
it's
hard.
It's the day I thought that's tonight.
No, we already sprung forward, my friend. They wouldn't.
We sprung forward?
Yeah, they sandwich that in the weekend, so it's not as jarring on a Monday morning.
I thought it was always on a Sunday night.
Now it's on a Sunday morning.
Oh, so. I didn't look at my like oven clock.
Yeah.
Well, it's all my appliance clocks kind of run a few minutes off, so I don't look at them often. But sorry to interrupt. That was jarring to me. I didn't realize. We lost an hour last night.
Can't be too jarring if you didn't know it happened.
A little groggy today.
Yeah. It sounds like it didn't even faze you one bit. That would be really funny if it was Monday morning and I was just wrong, but I'm like 95% sure it's already been accounted for.
Well, 6 o'clock tonight while everyone's watching, everyone on the West Coast would be watching the Oscars. It starts at 7 p.m. your time. We'll see if it's the light out.
Yeah, so you already mentioned this up top, but last Tuesday, Jason Kelce announced his retirement. I don't think it was so public. let me start over there. I don't think it was so clear that this was like a foregone conclusion. I think it was, you know, pretty likely, but it wasn't a done deal. But yeah, Fletcher Cox, he announced his retirement just a few hours ago. These two Eagles legends going out in the same offseason. It is certainly bittersweet. I know I watched the Jason Kelce announcement live, and it was very, very touching speech. It was nice to see how much his career has meant to him and the city. Obviously, you could tell he really gave his heart to the city, and the city gave it back. Clearly, he's a very emotional guy. You could tell that it's really kind of kept him wrestling the past few seasons. I think everybody knew that he had it in him to come back, talent wise. He revealed that like just the physical toll was too big, and obviously he has plenty off the field aspirations coming down the pike here, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a booth sometime real soon. Obviously he's got a very successful podcast. And then on the other hand, Fletcher Cox, I mean, I thought he had a really good year, and the two of them, I thought they both, As disappointing as the season was, I thought they were both playing very well, and I think they both even performed quite well in the forgettable playoff game. So it is nice to see them go out playing at a high caliber. But it's nice to see the trajectory of these two really beloved Eagles players just kind of go out on their own terms after a very long career. You're going to miss them for sure, but it also felt like the timing it's a nice ending, I'd say. Nothing felt too jarring, and it wasn't like the league retired on them. They had their chance, or sorry, they had their choice there.
Yeah, it's like you said, bittersweet. It's going to be weird to watch the Eagles play next season without Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. I know there's for Jason Kelce, there's a lot of it happened earlier last week. There's been a lot of coverage on it and a lot of great personal stories being shared and sort of the send off that he deserves and all the praise and all that. As far as going into the outlook and understanding why it could make sense from an outside perspective, why this season versus seasons past when it was rumored or thought of. I mentioned this to you, like the way the season ended last year, it's pretty unclear how next year will be with all the changes on defense and new coordinators and all that, and it feels like committing to next year is sort of like committing to the next 2 years, because next year feels like a transitionary period with all the change. And I know the news yesterday was Brandon Graham agreed to a 1 year deal to for his farewell tour. I feel like that was a decision he made going into last year, and as the year went on. But as far as Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, it seemed like they were decisions at the end of the season. And, the last couple years for Jason Kelce were, Nick sent the keg, and there was a lot of convincing and wondering and this and that, and even some criticism from Philly sports media and stuff like that for waiting for a decision because the Eagles had salary cap implications and this and that. But going into the Super Bowl year, it was, even the Kelce documentary was supposed to be documenting his final season, and they made it to the Super Bowl and had most of the, at least offensive side of the ball, returning, and a good amount of the defense, or I guess half the defense. So whether that's a good amount, you'd be the judge of that. But it seemed like last year could have been another deep playoff run. So making sense going into the Super Bowl year and going into this past season not to retire makes a lot of sense. It just feels like this year, with so much uncertainty, assuming you're playing to win and compete, and if the Eagles were sort of in the basement of the league, I feel like the decision to retire would have been a lot easier, as from a winning perspective. So it does make a lot of sense that some of these long-time Eagles retired from that avenue as well. Of course, there's the physical toll and that kind of thing too, not wanting to play for another team. It seems like Fletcher Cox, who they cut last year to re-sign on a different deal, like he was amenable to that. So they both went out on their own terms, and they'll be missed, and just a lot of different sort of points of view to view the decision. And I'm sure there's a lot of others, many of which we don't know because they're personal, but it is really a new era for the Eagles moving forward.
Yeah, and the Eagles, this has been I would say the past, so over the past week and going forward a week is like one of the most intense, transactionally dense parts of the NFL calendar. There's a lot of cap casualties, in the Eagles' case, a few retirements, all the rumors of, you know, players and teams connections for free agency. Now the tomorrow, Monday, March 11th is the beginning of the legal tampering period. I think it's something like, is it Wednesday is the official start of the NFL?
Yeah, I think the it's only a couple of days.
Yeah, it's something like 72 hours.
Free agency starts.
But teams and players can agree in principle on Monday, which is pretty much what happens. No highly anticipated free agent is waiting till Wednesday to agree to terms. A lot of that stuff comes out tomorrow, so we are really getting this pod in fresh for tomorrow. So in advance of that, the Eagles have made two cuts. The first one being Kevin Byard, the safety they traded for last year from the Titans. The move wasn't unexpected.
Which means it was expected.
That's accurate. The Eagles save roughly $13 million in cap space. Now, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a reunion here, but you never say never. I just think last year he wasn't bad, but I think there was a little bit of a disappointing return on that trade. I think he was, I'd say, like league average sometimes. And I think some of that is like he's coming in mid-season. He spent his whole career with the Titans. He's coming in. The defensive coordinator fiasco with the Eagles. So Kevin Byard's probably a better player than we saw last year, but he's not a guy that I would be excited to have them bring back. But who knows? Now the one thing is the safety market is very dense. So it is a buyer's market, and the Eagles could certainly wait around and, you know, kind of go for more of a value signing. But again, I would be pretty surprised if he's back in Eagles green. The other cut, a little bit more, not surprising, but I think impactful for like the Eagles fans, is the Eagles cut Avante Maddox. He had a cap hit of $9.6 million this coming season, so it was always thought of as like an inevitable move unless he was willing to agree to a pay cut. Now, that could still happen, but more often than not, if a player has already accepted that reality, they tend to strike a deal before free agency. So this is kind of like Avante and the Eagles saying, like, all right, go see if you can get a better deal on the market. I imagine that the Eagles, since there is like obviously a long time relationship there, that will probably have the right of refusal, just like not officially, but I imagine there's probably some interest of a reunion, but I think it's going to be at the Eagles' price. And if it's not, it'd probably say good luck, Avante. What's your interest level in having Avante back?
I think he's great at his position. I think his injury history, frequency, whatever you want to call it, is an issue. I think it's tough because, given all of his injuries the last couple of years, I would want, corner assurance. And so in that way, like it doesn't really make sense to sign him if just to sign someone else to wait in the wings in case he's hurt for depth. Mm-hmm. Unless they wouldn't do that. But if they have corner depth that they, you know, they tried James Bradbury in the slot last year. I wouldn't say anything they tried last year is something to go off of, just because of how comically bad the defense was the second half of the year. I think if they sign him, it'll be, you know, they prioritize other players or other positions through the off season. They may draft a corner. They would feel comfortable enough with enough depth pieces to sign him to at their price and be able to mix and match in there. But you know, I think they have a lot of positions of need, and slot corner might not be a position that they're targeting players for. So I would be comfortable bringing him back, but I would also wonder how confident they are in the depth, because he's proven that he can't stay on the field.
Yeah, and a name worth mentioning here, the Eagles signing of Isaiah Rodgers, who was suspended all of last year from the Colts. Now, I don't think he's played slot.
That was for gambling, not for performance drugs or anything, right?
Right. Yeah, it was a gambling suspension. So I don't think he has slot cornerback experience. I think he's more of a traditional cornerback by experience, but he's certainly got the quickness and frame for slot cornerback. So who knows what they've been doing behind the scenes. I think his suspension didn't preclude him from being in the facility and coaches getting a look at him. Like, who knows what Fangio thinks about, but that's a name that the Eagles have. They could try him out there. But I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae's back. It would certainly be on a more team-friendly deal. But also, if they don't bring him back, I mean, they gotta have some solution there. I don't think it's going to be like McPherson coming back from a serious injury, or like, you know, kind of an undrafted free agent either from this past year or this upcoming. Like, I don't think they want to toss like a rookie in there. So if it's not Avante, I think you have to have a better solution than just depth. So if they do let him walk, I think that is a position that they'll kind of not prioritize, but like, that's a big hole suddenly if Maddox isn't back.
It's tough to know where they stand because of how big an overhaul they need to make on the defense. The offense struggled last year for sure, but it's mostly the same people, and so you think the offense is going to be a top 10 offense. You can sort of expect to be around there. And so the question on defense is like, is remaking the defense going to be a 2-year project, or can Howie put in the pieces all this year? Like, which positions are going to be band-aids, which positions are going to be addressed for the long term, especially with the Fletcher Cox retirement and the trade requests or potential of Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat. So and who they're going to draft, and how you know, Jalen Carter develops, and how Nolan Smith develops. So slot corner, to me, I can understand them signing Avante to a team friendly deal and just rolling with the depth and having that position be a 2025 problem. If they can address linebacker, safety, outside corner, you know, D-line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see this position as a top priority for fixing. I think if you improve safety and if you improve linebacker and you sign Avante back to a cheaper deal and mix him and Bradbury in there and see what works, you can rely on help with up the middle, so which they couldn't do last year. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and it'll be interesting to see how they view this rebuild of the defense.
Right. All right. So just kind of a roundup of the pre-free agency rumors. You already hit one just a minute ago, but we obviously know that the Eagles gave Reddick permission to seek a trade. He's on the last year of his deal. But I think it was yesterday the news came out that the Eagles were shopping both Reddick and Josh Sweat over the past few weeks. And then additionally, the name Bryce Huff, the edge rusher from the Jets, the Eagles have apparently been interested in him and were expecting the Eagles to aggressively look into that. So, you know, Joe Douglas up there, Howie Roseman, he's probably got some good intel on that situation. Real quick on the Sweat and Reddick, obviously this can very quickly change, or it could, I don't know, like, it seems like the one thing that's unlikely to happen is both guys are going to come back on, like, so here's what we know can't happen, that nothing's going to change. Like, they're both on the last year of their deal. They've both been shopped around in trades. So we know that both aren't coming back on the last year of their deal. Give me, I guess, the most likely outcome in your mind between who are they extending, who are they trading, are they trading both? I don't think it's likely that they're going to extend both, so what's your kind of prediction there? Minus who they could potentially look to replace, because we're going to get into that later.
Yeah, I think Reddick not being on the team to start the year is more likely than Sweat.
Okay, so trading Reddick.
Yeah, so Sweat's younger. He was drafted here. He already got a contract here, I think. There's just more investment in guys you draft, and extending Reddick into his age 31, 32, 33 year old seasons is a lot different than Sweat into his, I think he's 27. So, you know, if you extend him 2-3 years, he'll be Reddick's age, you know, now or next year. So I think it makes a lot more sense to keep Sweat. Okay. But on the other hand, that, you know, they're not happy with his production last year. I think he tailed off from a career year the year before. So everyone tailed off last year. He's just someone with less pedigree, I guess, because Reddick's done it for 4 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he still had 10 sacks last year, I'm pretty sure, Reddick. So,
okay.
It's hard to, you know, balance the now and the future, but I think trading Reddick makes more sense.
Interesting. So, I think I'm in the opposite camp. I think, like, if you had the answers to this, you would trade the guy who would net you more value, but I think without knowing that answer, I would extend Reddick, and assuming that would make an untenable situation with Sweat, considering he's also in the last year of his deal and he wants an extension too, I would trade him. I think he's a more replaceable player than Reddick. But yeah, I certainly didn't expect this amount of change on the defensive line. A lot can change. This could be a very different situation next week. I think we almost certainly know something's going to be quite different, but it's kind of a bummer. There's I think those two had not even a disappointing year, it's just like they were stuck in a disappointing defensive situation. And I do think Sweat's dip in production was concerning, but I didn't think he was always so close, and like I don't think he suddenly forgot how to rush the quarterback. So I still think he has something. I just don't think there's money to extend both of them, but there's also like a new, you know, that side of the ball is completely different with Fangio, so we'll probably get insight into the players that he wants in his system. So the other rumor news, a lot of people are connecting Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
Yeah, I think it was a couple days was, you know, I think Jason Dumas tweeted that it's likely in the next couple hours or in, by tomorrow or something.
Yeah, like that. I think he said by Wednesday, which is like the official start of the league.
But then a bunch of rumors came up after that saying, you know, he's going to Baltimore or L.A. or for the Chargers. So it almost just as quickly as it came together for the Eagles is he's not going to the Eagles. He's going to one of these three other teams. So
right.
it's hard to know exactly. Maybe it's posturing and agent stuff, and maybe it is the Eagles, but they want some more money, and so the Eagles are used for leverage for other teams. It's hard to know, but definitely a big, confident rumor from a reliable outlet.
Mm-hmm. And I think from there we can turn, unless there's any other rumors that you want to kind of just take note of here before
we covered all the big ones.
Alrighty. So
we can go into the Eagles' top free agents.
Let's do it. All right. So I have this broken down by the three different teams. So let's start off with offense. And then just because this is a rather long exercise and they don't have too many like important free agents, I'll ask you if you want them back or if you don't want them back or if you want to see where the market takes it. And then if I feel differently, I'll just give my piece. So starting off with backup quarterback Marcus Mariota. What do you think?
I think he's not very good, but how many? I guess we'll go over in the free agency thing, but I don't know. I think Nick Foles was a very unique situation, and any backup that they can sign, I think, is the season sort of lost. So I'd say, sure, why not keep him?
Okay, interesting. I would certainly let him at least test, and I'd explore alternatives. So I'm fine if he leaves.
Yeah. If they like Tanner McKee, then I'm fine. I'm fine keep, you know, with Tanner McKee, but
yeah, I'm a little bit on the fence. Like, round pick. I think I'd have a much stronger opinion after, like the off season or training camp when it's like, wow, Tanner McKee looks ready. Like, if I see one tweet from a beat reporter, I'm sold. But you don't want to be stuck with like without a good backup on a team that certainly has Super Bowl aspirations. Next guy, Boston Scott.
Well, you need him for two games a year, so keep.
Yeah, I think this is the end of the road for Boston Scott, in my opinion. I just think it's time to maybe shake it up in that running back room. And I like Boston Scott. I don't think the team really, like, they showed us with their actions last year with his usage. There was just games where he wasn't really used. So, in my opinion, I think it's probably best to kind of move on. Now another running back, DeAndre Swift.
So I think you let him explore just because, you know, with the Saquon rumors, I don't know how much you believe in Eckler, but Eckler is a free agent. There's Josh Jacobs is a free agent. I think if some of these guys are not given the contracts they want and are willing to sign one-year deals, I think they can sign a lot of different talented backs that are comparable. DeAndre Swift was really good in the beginning of the year last year and sort of tapered off. I don't know that I would trust him next year putting it together for an entire season. I wouldn't be upset if they kept him, but I think that he's not a coveted talent piece, but it would be nice if they kept him and could still sign, you know, another solid back just to offer a variety and see which one can stick for the majority of the season.
Interesting. So I feel quite the opposite. I think he would be a good target to bring back. Now, I'm not saying, like, throw the bag at him. Like, I don't think you need to be, I don't think he has to be the breaking news right when legal tampering starts. But I thought he had a very good season last year. In my opinion, I don't think his production really dipped so much as his usage did. And I think there were certainly games where the Eagles kind of, the game plan got out of whack and he suddenly found himself outside the game plan. But when he was getting the touches, I thought he looked really good. And if there were any concerns about Swift, it would be injury. And he was quite healthy last year. So I think that has to be reflected in whatever that contract is. Like, you know, last year's probably the high watermark of what you could expect from him, both performance and health-wise, but, like, I'm willing to roll that dice. I thought Swift had a really good year last year, and I think he would be a good addition to bring back. All right. Offensive lineman Jack Driscoll.
Yeah,
AKA Lane Johnson's replacement. Backup, rather.
Well, backup, yes. Replacement, I don't think so.
Well, sorry, like replacement for when he's injured. I'm not implying that he's the future Lane Johnson.
Right, yeah. Tyler Steen likely being the starting right guard. Kind of, you know, that thins out the depth. I'm sure they'll draft a lineman at some point. They have 8 picks. 4 being comp picks, which is, you know, they doubled their draft picks with the comp picks, but. I think he's an important piece. He's been here. He knows Stoutland. He knows the system. He's been solid before. I think he's had ups and downs, but I think he's a quality backup, and they should keep him unless, you know, they're targeting someone else. But I think keeping him because of the experience, he's not super old. Mm-hmm. He knows the system, and you know, the more consistency with a new offensive coordinator, I think the better, because all the guys that played together are more familiar with each other. And of course, without Jason Kelce, there's a lot of change on the O-line as it is. So I would lean to keeping him.
Yeah, I feel similar. Like, I'm not sure I'm like rushing to get him. I don't think the Eagles really have that guy this year. But if he can come to a reasonable price as a backup, kind of your, he's your like swing tackle, unless they think, he's probably, if like Steen's going to be a right guard, he's probably your swing tackle unless you have something else up your sleeve. But I think you can't pay more than that. So if he can come to an agreement on a reasonable price as a reserve but like important backup lineman, I think that's perfectly fine. And you know, offensive line, like guys who have that equity like from Stoutland, like I think that's worth keeping around.
I would apply the same to Sua Paeta as well, who's on this free agent list too,
right?
I would have the same assessment.
And then just because you're excluding him, sounds like you don't have the same amount of interest in Roger Johnson.
I thought it was Fred Johnson.
I think that's another guy. They gave Fred Johnson a contract extension, yeah.
Well, I honestly have no clue, so.
That's okay. I don't think
cut him.
I don't think his market will be high if they want to bring him back.
Yeah.
All right. A trio of wide receivers here: Quez Watkins, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Julio Jones.
I think of the three, I would keep Zaccheaus if as wide receiver 4, wide receiver 3 insurance, and I would not bring back Quez or Julio Jones.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with, like cutting cutting bait of this group. If Zacchaeus wants to come back and he's willing to take a team-friendly deal, cool. But the wide receiver market is, especially for this role, I think there might be better options, especially if they want... I think their wide receiver room is very thin in depth. And also, like, if one of those guys goes down, I don't think Olamide really has that, like, bump up potential that a few of the free agent targets in this market could offer. So unless any of them want a very team-friendly deal, I'm cool with walking. And then the last guy on offense here, Jack Stoll, who was a, I believe, he's not an exclusive free agent. I think he's restricted or whatever, but I think the Eagles pulled back their tender like today, so now he I think is unrestricted, and I'm not sure if that's actual like news in the NFL. I'm not sure if anybody else is racing for Jack Stoll, more of a blocking tight end, but he has been with the team for a while now.
Yeah, I think they'll look into drafting one, but because we don't know much about the draft yet, I would say they should keep him because the tight ends that they've signed not panned out. Tyree Jackson, you know, Alberto. I mean, Alberto is a little unfair because he was like a midseason signing, but I would trust Jack Stoll over the backups that we have. I think they should improve at tight end, but I think that is a draft question, not a free agent question.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be a super team-friendly deal if he comes back, but I'd be fine if they explored alternatives. All right, moving to defense, a quartet of linebackers here, starting with Sean Bradley, Zach Cunningham, Shaq Leonard, and Nicholas Morrow. I imagine of the group, Zach Cunningham had the best season last year, but obviously he signed with the Eagles late into camp, so the league very much not too keen on him either. Anybody of this group you want to have back?
No, and every defensive player on this list I would not bring back.
Okay.
Unless I had to.
Right.
The other two being Justin Evans and Bradley Roby.
I think that's fair. Now, I do think, like, Zach Cunningham had a decent year, and how he did point that out. Who knows if that's anything more than kind of some congratulatory back padding. But I thought he had a decent year for a guy who the league was kind of sleepy on. So maybe if I think his market is reignited since last year. Now, that could mean nothing when it comes to the contracts that are agreed upon. Clearly, he was available late into preseason, but if there is a guy to come back who they trust, who they've kind of seen in their system, I think it could be him. But like you said, defensively, there's not a lot to be nervous about losing. And then special teams, real interesting tandem here. Rick Lovato, the Eagles long snapper, and punter Braden Mann.
Yeah, I would keep both.
Yeah. And I don't think it'll I think this should be pretty quick and easy business. Like, these are guys who had, you know, Rick Lovato, I mean, I don't even know, like, if Howie needs to talk to him. Like, I feel like the contract ink is already dry, and Braden Mann, I think they certainly found a punter that they can rely on, and that hasn't been a foregone conclusion in the recent history. So I think you just say, hey, let's make this work. So I'm in agreement. And I mean, going over this list, I think a lot of it's just kind of bottom of the roster guys you are okay with letting walk, with the exception of DeAndre Swift, Jack Driscoll, potentially Zach Cunningham. So I'm not sure if a lot of these guys are going to be returning, but quite different.
Yeah, I'd say last year. It too.
Yeah, that's true. So before we get into our draft here, I'm sure most fans have a short list of what it is that Eagles should be prioritizing when it comes to positions of need or specifically what positions on the field, but safety, that's a big one. I think you probably pencil in Blankenship in one spot and you're looking to fill in the other with Byard gone. Cornerback, I think, is another priority. Now, it seems like Bradbury is, like, a lot of people are like, the Eagles will cut him. I don't think there's much cap savings in that. But what I don't think they're going to do is rely on him as a starting cornerback. Certainly, he could have a bounce back year and end up becoming one. But I don't think that's a good plan for the Eagles to assume going into this offseason. So I think you have to have some plan opposite Slay, depending on Avante Maddox, if you bring him back. If you don't, I think you have to have a plan there too. So the secondary is a big big area to solve. what else are you thinking about as far as the Eagles shopping list here?
Yeah, really all defense, safety, linebacker, edge rusher.
Okay.
And now defensive tackle because of the Cox news.
You think defensive tackle? I don't think that's going to be a priority for them. I mean, for better or worse, they have Jalen Carter.
Well,
they have Jordan Davis.
Okay,
and they have
priority.
Williams.
Yeah, priority, sure, but I think it's still a need.
Right, but like, I don't see them spending more than like a $5 million a year type guy. Like, that's going to be like a sign that we hear about in like a few weeks. Nothing next week, I don't think. Unless, I mean, who knows? Howie has plans that we don't know about. I just don't think we're going to see any sort of big investment in that position.
Yeah.
So I think some smaller areas, you mentioned linebacker, you mentioned edge. I think edge is a tricky one because we don't know what's going to happen with Sweat or Reddick. But it does seem like something's going to move there. Wide receiver 3, kind of talked about it when we were talking about Alamide and Quez. I think they're probably going to be looking at some value signing as their third wide receiver. You know, running back is another one. I know that that's, you know, we were hearing all those Barkley rumors. So if DeAndre Swift doesn't come back, that's a hole. And honestly, that whole running back room, it's kind of empty at the moment. Rashad Penny, I don't think he's coming back. He didn't play last year. Boston Scott. Obviously, Kenny Gainwell remains, but I don't think he's a starter. And then quarterback, too. What do they do if they're not? There hasn't been any rumors about Mariota coming back, so I think they're probably willing to get another veteran in there unless they're feeling pretty good about Tanner McKee. So I think there's a lot happening on defense and there's kind of some finessing on offense.
All right, let's get into the 2024 pre-agency prediction draft. Last year, Mike won with out of each of us had 10 picks. So out of the 20 picks, only one was correct, I believe, with Marcus Mariota. So Mike won by a score of I think 9. He was your second pick. 9-0.
Yeah.
So Mike gets the first pick.
And we were waiting on some news for quite a while there.
yeah, some of these guys weren't signed for weeks. So
yeah.
I was holding out hope, but we eventually called it last year. But this year, maybe we should implement some sort of time stamp, but I think that'll be determined at a later date. We do have an updated small change to the draft where as Mike won last year, he gets the choice of the first overall pick, or to compensate for that, the second and third pick, and then we alternate after that. So Mike, which do you choose?
I'm going to go with the 2-3. Give me the wraparound. And so
yep.
I'm deferring and you're at the plate now. And just real quick,
okay.
Just because I'm looking at last year's draft. So last year's draft was the defensive tackle draft. We had Draymond Jones, Zach Allen, Matt Ioannidis. So we went defensive tackle, first three picks. Puna Ford, not far after. Dalvin Tomlinson. So there's five defensive tackles, and I have a suspicion on what this year's draft, which position will define it, but lead us off here. This is your first round pick, so make it a banger.
Yeah, my first round pick will be safety Xavier McKinney. I think there's been a lot of rumors he would be a splash pick. I don't think that the Eagles will want to draft a safety in the top round. So I think it's a position that makes a lot of sense to just pay money for, and he seems to be a top guy based on the rumors. And also they do have a history of signing former Giant secondary guys. So give me Xavier McKinney, safety, and that will probably solve the safety issue for the next few years.
Yeah, I think Xavier McKinney, he's certainly top of the market for the safeties. The Eagles were interested in Marcus Williams before he signed with the Ravens. So we know that historically Howie Roseman has identified safety as a trouble spot as far as drafting. It's just kind of hard to project that position. McKinney's a really good one. He's 24. This will be a second contract, so there's a lot of upside. Going from the Giants to the Eagles, I don't know if we feel that that's icky, but he's an Alabama guy. I think there is a personal connection between him and Jalen. I think they are pals. And I feel like we had this conversation last year. Is it Spotrack or is it Spotrack? whatever site does the kind of comps and value contracts. They have him at 5 years, 52. So
I think it's Spotrack, but it's not spelled in
a way that didn't you call it Spotrack? Wasn't answer. That the historical phrase or name?
Honestly, I don't remember. But all of our dedicated listeners can go back and listen and tell us.
So yeah, they have him at about 10 mil over 5 years, you know, a year. I think it's probably north of that. I think you're probably looking at like 12 or 13. But I think it's probably worth time that they make a big money investment there. And I could certainly see that coming to fruition. All right. So for my first pick, I am going with another safety, and that is Justin Simmons. Most recently of the Broncos. He's 30, so he's a little bit older, but obviously he has a connection to Vic Fangio. Now he's a really good safety. He's been a Pro Bowler, he's been an All Pro. He gets his hands on a lot of footballs, so he has a good amount of interceptions. I think he offers a good amount of playmaking. Now the only thing is he's on the older side. He's 30. I think a good frame of reference is like Kevin Byard, similar age. But I do think he's better. I think he's kind of like the souped up version of Kevin Byard. So he was a cap casualty by the Broncos, but he was with the Broncos for a very long time. So I do think you're also probably bringing in like a guy who is coming in with a leadership responsibility. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I think that's good for Vic Fangio to have a guy, but also bring in a guy to kind of supplement the defensive leadership in the locker room. And I think Simmons can bring that. And I think you're probably looking at a similar AAV as like a McKinney, but you're probably not going as long on the years. So Spotrac had him at 2 for 22, but I think that could probably go up to like 336 or somewhere in that ballpark, and I feel comfortable with that too. So starting off with two safeties, yeah. I think that's not a surprise.
I'd be excited with Justin Simmons. I think the safety issue has been an issue for a number of years now, and I don't think he solves it in a long-term way. So I pick Xavier McKinney over Justin Simmons for that reason. I think McKinney would solve an issue that's been a long-standing one for the next, you know, foreseeable future. So I think both of these would be strong signings, and mm-hmm. We'll see which ones. I like the head-to-head position.
Yeah, and in this, just to counter that, I think that's good reasoning on your part, because like McKinney, he's certainly younger. He could be like a foundational player that he can just count on for years to come. Sidney Brown, drafted last year, obviously he has a significant injury he's coming back from, but like I think Simmons could be a good bridge to supplement the Brown injury. And when he's ready, he kind of has like a year or two learning on the job until he's earned that starting spot. So I could also see that working out that way. All right, my second pick here, I'm going with the layup. And that is, in the case of Redick or Sweat getting traded, that will open up a hole on the edge. And I'm going with the source name, and that is Bryce Huff. Now, this is a tricky evaluation. Huff is an undrafted free agent, so he doesn't have that draft pedigree, but he had a really good productive year last year. I believe he had 10 sacks. His rate stats are quite impressive. Now, he wasn't a full-time defensive player. I think he played around like 40% of the defensive snaps last year. So this is certainly a projection of what he could be as a full-time player. And if you are signing him and giving him this money, he'll certainly be a starter. And I think he's certainly an up-and-coming player. The Eagles have already been sourced to him. I think it was Diana Russini. I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, he's a guy that if you could lock him in for a few years as a projection, like, that could certainly pay off. We look at when the Eagles signed Redick. I'm not comparing them as players, but like, Redick kind of bounced around. Like, he didn't have the greatest rookie contract with the Cardinals. Now, he did have a good last year, and then he went to the Panthers, but like, the league kind of thought it was flimsy. Like, this isn't like a core defensive player. I think there's some similarity there with Bryce Huff. Like, all right, is this like a one-year wonder? Wasn't a full-time player. So I could see the Eagles saying, yeah, we're sold. We just found a new starting edge rusher.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the inverse of our safety picks. It solves an issue for a long time, and losing one of our top producing edge rushers and replacing him with Bryce Huff with the upside that he has is very exciting. So
where was he in your big board? I'm curious.
He was my top edge.
Okay, so you didn't have like a listing agnostic of positions.
No, I have by position group.
Okay. All right.
So with my second pick, you know, these drafts are hard because it's you want the points, but you also have to go with who you want the Eagles to sign. I'm gonna go similar to your Justin Simmons, an older safety who's durable, productive, Pro Bowl player three of the last 4 years. Quandre Diggs, safety from Seattle. I think similar to your Justin Simmons reason, he could be a potential bridge player. He's 31. I may have said that. But a good player and I think a reasonable ad.
I'm sure Darius Slay would love that move. They're friends because they were teammates with in Detroit. And Quandre Diggs famously had, I believe it was the pick six on Carson Wentz, wasn't it?
I don't remember, but possibly.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting because I'll be honest, I didn't have him on my list of safeties. And I think that kind of goes back to my point of it is such a deep class of free agents, like, and like quality options too. And like, I didn't even have Diggs on my list of like considerations, let alone like priorities. And I think that is because he is old. And I know that Simmons is just a year younger. Now I see the, I see the path to this happening as like the Eagles really waiting out the market and like really going value shopping. So I think that's, I could see this happening if they're like prioritizing at linebacker and want to like kind of slowly approach the safety market. But yeah, Quandre Diggs, I think that would be a nice veteran option for sure.
Yeah, you have to toe the line between covering yourself in all situations. So, you know, they need a safety. Right. They could go, you know, young for many years or old for a couple of years. So I'm covering my bases on safety there.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me. All right, let's beat this position group. let's really drill it into the ground here and I'm going with another safety here, and this is a homecoming, and that's not a homecoming as in him coming to his hometown, but him coming back, and that's C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Obviously, Eagles tried to sign him last offseason, and there was a bit of drama about the order of things and the prioritization of James Bradberry and Darius Slay, and I do think there was a lot of want to make this work, and for whatever reason, if it was a big gap in money or if it was just trying to field offers and not wanting to agree to terms before either side was ready, I think if things went the Eagles' way last year, Gardner Johnson would currently be an Eagle. So I don't see this, like, I don't see why this couldn't happen again. Now, the only thing that could potentially be a roadblock is if any, like, bridges were burned in the process. We know that CJGJ is a emotional player. He's kind of out there laying it out on the field. He's a bit of a hothead, and who knows what those conversations were like in free agency if there was bad blood, but I don't think it's anything that he and Howie couldn't bury the hatchet on. It seems like there's still a lot of love between him and the fans here in Philly, so I see a path to a reunion here. And when he was with the Eagles, a very good player, the Eagles traded for him on the last year of his rookie deal. His tenure with the Lions, well, tenure, it was just 1 year, but his 1 year with the Lions, he had a pretty significant injury that kept him out for most of the year. And obviously he had that, I think it was like a lacerated kidney.
Lacerated kidney, yep.
Yeah. So I don't think of him as like injury prone so much as like having suffered two unfortunate injuries. Like, it wasn't kind of like a knee or an ankle that kept him out, nothing like chronic like that. So I'm not really nervous about his health, but I think that's another thing, like, that would probably reflect a discount in whatever deal he would strike this off season. So I think that's another reason. He's young, he's currently 26, so he's 2 years older than McKinney, but much younger than the other safeties we've theorized so far. So give me CJ GJ coming back to Philly.
Yeah, certainly would not mind that. My third round pick, I'm going edge. And this player, in the event that they extend Redick and trade Sweat, I think would be a great player to slot in. Similar age, over 12 sacks last year, and that's Jonathan Greenard from the Texans. I don't watch much Texans football, but he stood out during the playoffs to me last year. Had a few big plays. I think he would be he's not necessarily a big name around the league as far as I know. He's got a lot of upside, and I think if the Eagles value him, I don't know how much the D'Amico Ryans connection helps with scouting for the Eagles, but he's a player that I think could have a lot of potential and would make a lot of sense to sign in place of Josh Sweat.
Yeah, I know he and I think it's Daniil Hunter and Greenard are probably at the top of the market for edge rushers, and who knows, maybe depending on the compensation they get back for Redick or Sweat could make them more likely to make such a large investment. Like, to me, I think like Huff is like the diet version of Greenard, like a more affordable, projectable development, or whatever you want to call it. Like, I think if you're going with Greenard here, you're certainly paying a pretty penny. I'm just not sure if that's in the budget for the Eagles.
I think both will be expensive, so they both make a lot of sense. Huff's a year younger. Greenard is 26. Huff is 25. Mm-hmm. I think they both have a lot of potential, a lot of upside, and I don't know. I think that they could be comparable when next year's said and done. I think you might be looking at both of them as a similar level of edge rusher. So I think either player will be a significant investment from the Eagles.
All right. We haven't talked about this position group, and that's I'm going to make my first move with a linebacker. And that is Jerome Baker. He has only been a Dolphin so far. He's 27, so obviously he's got the connection with Fangio from this past season, but he's been a steady, reliable linebacker for the Dolphins for a few years. I think this isn't like a splashy signing, but I think it's kind of like a middle-of-the-road, reliable linebacker with room for upside. Obviously, he could help help bring in the Fangio system. You know, if you have somebody at linebacker who can kind of communicate and explain and help digest what Fangio is expecting, I think that's certainly a great position to have that familiarity. And I don't think he's a guy that will like outshine what they may have as their highest expectation for N'Kobe Dean. So I don't think it's like we're moving on from Dean. I think it's like we're giving Dean like a nice partner in crime. So Jerome Baker. And I don't know how much he's going to cost, but he's not like at the top of the linebacker market. So maybe it's something affordable and team friendly.
Yeah, I don't have him on my list, but I welcome a non signed off the street t- type guy. So,
right.
You know, linebacker, I think, is an interesting position for the Eagles because they've invested in it the least. And I do wonder if they are changing their attitude and thinking they need to invest in it, or if they will just say we need to invest more than we have and go with this type of player that's not at the top of the linebacker market. I think that's a really interesting pick. For my fourth round pick, I'm going to continue to corner the safety market. Hopefully I hit on one of these safeties in the top four, top five rounds, so I can get some big points here. Safety Geno Stone, he's only 24, and he was on the Ravens. I think with Kyle Hamilton, they won't sign a young, a young safety when they have a stud young safety already. That's a lot of money invested in one position. He's from Pennsylvania. According to PFF, he was the 7th-rated safety in coverage. Very young, had 7 interceptions last year. So he would be a big young signing as well. I think Xavier McKinney level excitement. They're both 24. Just a different high-end sort of young safety option. Geno Stone.
Yeah, no, I could see that happening. The safety market's so big, and he's one of the younger options. Now, I do think he lacks like the, I don't know what round he was drafted or really what his year-to-year progression was, but I don't think he was like, I don't think he was so much a starter for the Ravens as much as he was like an impactful role player who really had a good year. So I see some similarities between him and like Bryce Huff. Obviously Huff's going to command a much more expensive contract, but like I think there are those questions of going from role player who's not seeing a starter's amount of snaps to a contract that will certainly command a starter's amount of snaps. So I think there's a little bit of projection there from his past role to what it would be with the signing with the Eagles, but I like it. And I had him on my list as well. All right. I'm going to go back to the Dolphins, and this is for a guy who I could see the Eagles signing specifically if they extend Sweat and they trade Reddick. This is more of an off-ball linebacker, so maybe he's standing up on the edge, maybe he's dropping into coverage, and that is former Dolphin Andrew Van Ginkel. He's 28. He's with the Dolphins. He's a guy that you feel good about rushing the quarterback. He's got good rate stats. And I think he's had like between 5 or 6 sacks for the past handful of years. So he's not a double digit type guy, but he also hasn't been like a full time pass rusher. So I think it could go either way. It could be maybe those numbers are more gaudy when he sees more snaps, or maybe he sees more snaps and his raid stats dip. But either way, there is the familiarity with the Dolphins defense with Fangio, and I think he's got a little bit of that hybrid pass rusher linebacker mold that the Eagles would be lacking if Reddick is out of town.
Yeah, I think he's a great option. Feels like a bit more of a depth you know, not the, like, a solid, reliable guy. I don't know that he's coming in and being a replacement for those guys, but definitely,
yeah, like, he's a strong, probably more of like a super role player, like your first rotational defensive, or your first rotational pass rusher. If you feel like, I mean, honestly, you probably would feel pretty bad if it was like Sweat, Nolan Smith, and then Van Ginkle, but I think he's a, I think he's a guy that could certainly provide some juice that fans would be like, who the heck is Van Ginkle?
Right. But I wouldn't protest the signing, is all I'm saying. My fifth round pick will be my first linebacker choice. Frankie Luvu. Former Panther. He's 27. A lot of experience. A lot of sacks for a linebacker. A lot of tackles. Seems like a very solid. He's being 27. You know, he's not like super young. He's in the middle of his prime. Seems like a very reliable guy who can make some plays. I think that would be a solid addition. I'm not sure what their strategy is, if it's like, you know, bring in a guy next to N'Kobe Dean, or if N'Kobe Dean is not really a thought, and they're, you know, he's fighting for his job and they need to bring in as many linebackers as possible. We'll certainly learn more as the draft comes and goes, but I think this guy will be a good addition to the linebacker group.
Yeah, I have seen Frankie Aluvu's name floating around, and I think a lot of people point to him as like the best player you didn't hear about until free agency, and I think that's because he's like on the Panthers, not like the most watchable defense, but he's able to rush the quarterback. He gets a lot of tackles. Like he seems like a quality linebacker. I think my hesitation for this level of linebackers, like, when was the last time the Eagles were paying one linebacker like 10 mil a year? Because I think that's probably what's going to take for signing a Frankie Luvu. Like, you're certainly flirting in that like top end of that position's market, and we've just maybe this is like Fangio's like, no, you got to get me one. But yeah, like the Eagles just haven't, they haven't swam in those waters for so long. We know they don't prioritize that group. So if they were to make a signing like that, it would certainly be a change in their past tendencies. But he's a quality player for sure. All right. So we talked about Avonte Maddox, and we talked about the reality of what that hole is if Avonte leaves. So this pick is in the reality that Avonte Maddox doesn't want to take a pay cut that the Eagles would want him to, and those two parties part ways. The Eagles need a new starting slot cornerback, and I'm going to say if that happens, they make a deal for Kenny Moore, who is most recently of the Colts. He's 28, so he's a bit of a veteran, but he's a quality, feisty inside cornerback. He and Sirianni obviously have some time together with the Colts, so I think there's probably a lot of good intel, like they're not coming in blind on the type of player he is or the type of person he is. Now, he's probably like one of the more highly sought after slot cornerbacks on the market, but it's not like they weren't already paying that for Maddox. I don't think it's any crazy investment. Like, I feel like they can probably get come to a similar deal that they would want Maddox on. But if Maddox doesn't want to come back on that, maybe they give that money to Kenny Moore, and I think that would be a good deal.
Yeah, he was on my list. I wasn't the biggest priority signing, but a top one, because he made my list. I would not be upset with Kenny Moore. I'm going to continue with the getting my list all mixed up here. I'm going to continue with the linebacker group. And this wouldn't be a splash signing, but it would be a depth, a veteran, and a reunion. Give me linebacker Jordan Hicks.
Wow.
31, about to be 32. And he's, you know, reunion tour with the Eagles. He played 13 games last year for the Vikings. And he's just been a solid player for a number of teams for a long time. So I think this will shore up that group, and they'll have to draft or sign another quality, maybe veteran linebacker, but I think he checks a lot of boxes in raising the floor of the group and would be an interesting reunion. I think he got married recently,
or maybe congrats to Jordan. Or maybe not,
maybe it was a year or two ago actually. So, it was Kamu Grugier-Hill, I think, who got married recently.
Okay.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks. Got my former Eagle linebackers mixed up.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks was not on my list. I did see that he's a free agent. That would certainly match like their history of linebackers, like trying to find quality, veteran, cheap options. And yeah, I think he would certainly be like a steadying presence for the Eagles. I'm not sure if I would be like excited about Hicks and N'Kobe Dean. Now, if I had like Jordan Hicks this past year next to N'Kobe Dean, like I think that would have been a better situation. But you said he's 31. I feel like you're really kind of testing what his body has left in him. Like, we just saw, well, this probably is an unfair comparison, but we just saw, like, Shaq Leonard, he's, like, 28. But obviously, he's had a much more extensive injury history. But, yeah, I'm willing to see what Jordan Hicks has left in his body.
Great.
All right. So, I'm going to go back to the Colts and go back to the safety spot, and that is with safety Justin Blackmon. When healthy, he's been a good player, and I feel like that is like a Howie Roseman, that's what Howie likes to go after in free agency. He likes to go after those market inefficiencies. So when healthy, he has been a quality player. He's got like a corner background, and then he pivoted to safety towards the end of his college career, and he's kind of flourished at safety, unlike the Eagles' past history of trying to take linebackers and make them into safety. So Julian Blackmon, I'm willing to take that gamble. I think you could probably get him on a team-friendly deal. Like, this is probably like a second or third week signing if the Eagles haven't found like their like treasured safety. So I think this is like if the safety market cools and Julian's like, hey, like I'm just looking for like a starting role, I think this could make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense there. For my round 7 pick, I'm gonna go edge, the young player, former Patriot Josh Uche. He had a really good 2022 and not a great last year as far as sack production. He's young. I think he could be an interesting addition if the Eagles think they can develop him. Obviously had the production 2 years ago, so there's a potential for productivity in that way as well. But I think he would be a high upside depth piece, especially if they lose a guy and if they expect some guys to step up. If they draft someone high, they could have a really nice rotation in there. And he's, again, only 25.
Yeah, that's a good pick. And for full transparency, he was the guy I was ready to pick if he didn't pick him here. He's got the draft pedigree. I think he was a second-round pick. Now, he has some of those projection questions in that he wasn't a full-time starter. He only played a fraction of the defensive snaps. So you're kind of left wondering, is he going to have like these, like his raid stats are good when he's on the field, but like, is that something that you can extrapolate to full-time starter snaps? So I think the edge group's kind of tricky because you got Danielle Hunter and then you got Grenard. And those are like kind of I would say the two that you don't really have to wonder if they're going to be able to deliver as a starter. And then you have like the Bryce Huff and similarly Josh Uche, and even to an extent Van Ginkel. Like, all right, what are these players going to be able to do with more snaps? But I think Uche, like, that would be an interesting move. And I think, kind of going back to what the Eagles thought and like Reddick, like what if we put this guy in the role that we think he could really excel at, and then you have like Reddick well outperforming his contract. So it's worked for them in the past, and I think these are bets that Howie Roseman would be willing to make for sure. All right, with my next pick here, taking another linebacker, following up my pick from Jerome Baker, and that is Azeez Al-Shaair. Now, he was, I believe he was drafted by the 49ers. He was stuck behind two of the better linebackers in the league. And then this past year, he was like on a one-year flyer deal with the Titans. So he's 26, he's still young. I think he's kind of, this is like kind of, I'm not comparing their playing styles, but I would say more like in the Kazir White mold of a contract, like just like, hey, young player looking for second or third contract. Let's see what he's got. Like he's been trusted and he's performed at other places in more of a defined role outside of being a starter. Yeah, Eagles need a linebacker, as they always do.
Yeah, I had him on my list last year, ended up going to the Titans. I think he'd be a solid addition, and for all the reasons you laid out. A lot of the linebackers of his sort of level, it is a deep free agency class, so I'd be happy with him. I'd be happy with a lot of these guys, so that is a good pick in the wheelhouse of what they will need. I'm going to take a shot here. We mentioned his name a number of times. Don't think it's likely. That's why I'm waiting till round 8, but you can be hopeful for a short-term situation if he could be a little cheaper than Reddick, or if you can get a lot for Reddick and need a older, very productive replacement at edge. Danielle Hunter, a Viking, age 29, 16 and a half sacks last year. So that would, you know, you could think if you're going to sign him, why not just keep Reddick? If, you know, you can get a lot for Reddick and sign Hunter to the deal that you wanted to sign Reddick to, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure, you know, Reddick has been a top name at that position in the league. Hunter has two, but it all depends on how the market shakes out, how the league views the two players. I would think Hunter is thought of as not a big downgrade, but a slightly lesser caliber than Reddick as far as, you know, hype and that kind of thing. So I think a discounted Reddick with similar production, and then you would get the draft picks or whatever compensation back for Reddick. That might be a very savvy move for Howie to make, and you still get a similar player plus the draft picks. You're obviously going to have to pay Hunter, so that's factors in as well. But again, less likely of a signing, but I think he would be a potential target as well.
Yeah, I honestly think whatever Reddick's going to get is going to pale in comparison to Hunter. Like, I think Hunter's, I mean, he's coming off a season of 16 and a half sacks. He has multiple seasons of 10 plus sacks. So like he just has like a longer track record of production. And I think he's more of like an easily defined prototype of edge rusher. So like there are certain teams that just won't look at Hassan Reddick as like a bona fide edge rusher because he's not as big, not as strong. And I think Danielle Hunter, he's like your prototypical, he's 260, he's a bigger guy, he can set the edge, he's a much better run defender, so he's got less question marks than Reddick, and I think it's just his production career has been more impressive than Reddick, so I think he's probably going to command north of like, I would say maybe, like if, I imagine if Reddick gets an extension, it's probably going to be like 20 a year, or you know, between 20 and 22, and I could see like Hunter getting like 25 a year, which, you know, I know it's not like the biggest raise, but over the course of whatever that contract, it's going to look a little different.
Yeah, with the cap going up, I wonder what the contracts are gonna look like. I think age might factor in as well. But it'll be interesting to see. He's a late round pick for a reason, but I think he's if they want to make a splash, and it's unlikely, but if they want to make a splash, I got him on my board, so that'll give me a 3-pointer.
Cool. All right. I was gonna go running back. I don't know if you're gonna take a running back in the last two. I'm not falling for the Barkley bait. I just, you know what, like the last time the Eagles paid up for an external running back was like Ryan Matthews, right? Like I know DeMarco Murray happened, paid up. But like I think that was like, I think that's a reason to why they wouldn't do it. Like obviously Barkley is a much better player at this point in his career, but you already mentioned like the market for Barkley is hot. I don't think the Eagles are the only team interested, which to me is like, all right, yeah, the Eagles are going to get outbid quickly for him. Anyway, that's a tangent of why I'm avoiding that whole market together, and I don't want to spoil anybody with your last two picks. So I'm going to go back to linebacker, and this is a more pricey proposition, but as you mentioned, it's later in the draft. We can kind of take a bigger chance here since we've got a lot of other guys on our board. But Jordan Brooks, he is 26, was drafted by the Seahawks, I believe, in the first round. So he's got that draft pedigree. He's kind of, your traditional middle linebacker. He's, I think he's a guy, like, he probably underperformed from where he was drafted. But I still think there's some maybe untapped potential here. 26, coming into a starting job. I think the Eagles haven't in the past really spent up at this position. Last time was probably Nigel Bradham, and I don't think that was anywhere near what Jordan Brooks would be costing the Eagles. I think SpotTrack had him at like 4.45. So let me see. So like, I think maybe a little bit cheaper than Frankie Louvu, but probably in the same neighborhood. And I also think he was a Longhorn. So, yeah, UT grad or Dottie graduated, but UT connection, Jordan Brooks.
Great. Yeah, he was on my list.
No, he was Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Oops. All right. Well, close, I suppose, but
yeah, same state.
Same state indeed. I will save my splashiest, most unlikely pick for my last round pick. So I'm going to do a sort of a boring pick here with the ninth. Another safety, bit older, veteran, Eddie Jackson. He's played his career with the Bears. Vic Fangio was with the Bears for, I think, three of the years he was there, two or three, as the defensive coordinator. So they have a relationship. He's missed a couple games the last few seasons, made the Pro Bowl in 2019. I think he's sort of a stopgap veteran guy, similar to a Jordan Hicks type for safety.
Right.
I think they would go this route if they plan to draft a safety high in the draft, and if they really believe in Sidney Jones. So a more muted, boring safety pick in Eddie Jackson, but does have that connection to Fangio, so thought that mm-hmm. could be a potential connection there. So
yeah,
safety Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, there's like a lot of connective thread like between him and Fangio. I think that does make a lot of sense as maybe, I don't know, like on one hand, I think he would only work if he was if he was signed, but they signed another, a higher paid safety. Like I almost don't see him being the safety signing if he was by himself, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I don't see him being the guy starting
opposite
Blankenship.
He's a depth signing.
Blankenship.
He'd be a depth signing.
So I just wonder if he's like he would almost have to be signed alongside another safety, which I'm not.
If they miss out on the big safeties and they sign like a mid tier, like reliable safety, that's going to be half the price of the McKinney or Stone or, you know, that level.
Yeah.
I can see them signing a mid-level guy and Eddie Jackson for like a vet minimum or something, if like way into free agency, if Eddie Jackson doesn't sign right away. So
I think this goes back to yeah, for sure. I think it would make a lot of sense, but it goes back to what you're talking about. I forget if it was before or if it was during, but like weighing what you think the Eagles will do versus what you hope they would do. And I just think Eddie Jackson would be such a disappointing, predictable outcome that I'm like, let's not, let's not hope for that. But yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense and I could see that happening.
The plus is this draft has no effect on how we and the Eagles do whatsoever, so I can have him in my
You don't know that.
And be disappointed.
What do you think Howie's going to be doing tonight preparing for
I mean, if he wants
legal tampering.
If he wants some fan if he wants some fan input, he can certainly listen to a number of podcasts, ours included, so.
All right.
We'll see.
So for my 10th and final one here, going with what I would be pretty intrigued by. I do think this is not like a long shot, but it would be a bit unexpected. But I sure think it would be fun, and that would be the return of Hala Pulivadi Vaitai.
Wow.
Won the Super Bowl with the Eagles, got his bag with the Detroit Lions, currently a free agent. He is still 30, believe it or not. But what we know about Big V is that he is trusted offensive line depth across the board, except for center. So he can fill in a hole at either tackle spot, at other guard spot. And I think with the current state of the offensive line, when you have some depth in Driscoll and Opetta, like unclear if they're coming back or what it would cost to retain them, you have Jason Kelce leaving, like it's a bit of a, I don't think the Eagles offensive line is like in a state of disrepair suddenly, but I think bringing in steady veteran depth that you can count on reliably at four of the five spots, plus you already have that relationship with him and Stout, like bring home Big V.
I did not expect this. I don't really see it happening unless it's a massive, massive discount. I feel like he would be a good, if he's this good of a depth piece for the Eagles, I feel like he would be a solid starting piece for like a not great team that would be in need of a lineman. I don't know how much the Eagles are looking for O-line depth from, you know, 30-year-old veterans, but I can't say I'd be unhappy if they do it. So definitely a reach in round 10, but I like it. To round out the draft, I'm going to, for my 1 point on the off chance that this happens, you could say I'm throwing away a pick here, but just for fun, let's go with Saquon Barkley.
All right. So give me your protest explanation here. How does this happen?
I think he takes less to play with the Eagles and stick it to his the team that drafted him twice a year for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, if they could somehow sign him without
revenge,
like breaking,
signing,
I think you're just gonna have to break open the piggy bank. But if for some reason he decides to take less money and sign with the Eagles, like that would really open up, like this offense would certainly have more avenues for big plays. I think we always knew he was a big play waiting to happen, both as a running back or catching the ball out of the backfield. He's an explosive player. He's kind of removed from his serious injury. Like that would be super exciting. I don't think the money adds up.
Yeah. I don't think it's likely either, but if memory serves, he wanted multiple years at $10 million a year or something last year and got it just for the 1 year.
Right.
Last season. So, obviously he's in his prime and is looking to get paid, but I think it would be a good fit from a winning perspective if he wants to go to a team with a chance to win. I think taking a discount would make a lot of sense, but I agree with you that the Eagles probably won't pay what he's asking for, so it would have to be a notable discount, but it would be a really big game changer for the offense. So it would be an exciting signing. I'll just keep him on there for my 10th round pick. I was between him and adding Patrick Queen on there, because I think that's another you know, linebacker that doesn't make any sense that they would pay.
Yeah, talk about
it would
a splash.
Be an exciting sign. Yeah, so.
All right. Well, there's 20 free agents. Just because we didn't just because we didn't really get to dig into the running back group, like obviously these aren't counting, these are just like talking points, but since we didn't really dive into wide receiver, running back, just sitting on those real quick, guys that I thought might make sense, Gus Edwards, 28, most recently of the Ravens, I think he could be a good guy to potentially pair with Swift as like the big body back. He doesn't have a lot of miles on him. He's kind of been like in a triumvirate every year with the Ravens. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins has been injured and he kind of stepped up this past year. Dobbins also another free agent maybe the Eagles would be interested in. And then wide receiver three, I was wondering if like a Kendrick Bourne made sense. He's 28, a bit higher floor as compared to past wide receiver threes for the team, or a Noah Brown, who had a resurgent year with the Texans. Those are some guys. Maybe even a Mac Hollins. He had a big year with the Raiders and then kind of came back to earth with the Falcons. So like maybe you kind of look at him as a field stretcher, as like a wide receiver four or five who you can count on for special team snaps. If we're going to get any more homecoming Eagles. But
yeah, like the homecoming, the homecomings, even though, one and one, we had homecoming, drafts with, Gardner Johnson and Hicks. So.
And we didn't even mention John Runyon Jr., who some people pointed out, but yeah.
In my research for this, him being a free agent. So,
We gotta get this bad boy out for tomorrow.
Yeah, we do. So, we'll put the chart up on Twitter for those that want to see the picks out as a refresher for Mike. Rounds 1 through 10: Justin Simmons, Bryce Huff, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Jerome Baker, Andrew Van Ginkle, Kenny Moore, Julian Blackman, Azeez Al-Shaair, Jordan Brooks, and Halepalati Vaitai. For me, Xavier Kinney, Quandre Diggs, Jonathan Greenard, Geno Stone, Frankie Louvu, Jordan Hicks, Josh Uche, Danielle Hunter, Eddie Jackson, Saquon Barkley. So we'll put that out on Twitter, and we'll be back between now and the draft for sure. I'm sure there will be signings in the next week or two, so we'll do an interim free agency podcast, most likely before our draft preview. For Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.